if this is your first time with us, so glad you're here. You picked a great Sunday if this is your first time to check out Bethel, because we're beginning a new series entitled Faith Works. And really what we're doing throughout this series is we're going to be walking through the book of James. So before we jump into the first chapter, I just want to tag on just what Pastor Richard just said just for a moment. You know, we need to be praying for Pastor Richard, because when it comes to racial reconciliation, this is one of our key missions as a church. And Pastor Richard really is leading the charge when it comes to this. He has met with the city, the county mayor, and he is putting together, what they've asked him to do is to put together a plan. So if something like what happened in Ferguson or something like what happens on television, that immediately we as the church and the community know how to respond. One of the things that they brought up was allowing those hands to go on all of our digital billboards around the community, so that that clearly communicates that we're in unity. See, when we're in unity as a church in the community, that means violence and things like that, they have an immediate stop. It puts a stop to it. And so Pastor Richard is leading the charge, and this is really a key moment for us really as a church, because there's not a lot of ethnically diverse churches, friends, in our community, if you have not noticed. But this is why we are here, and this is why God has given us the great gift of Pastor Richard, really to lead the charge. Amen? So you guys be praying for him. Guys, also, this year in 2016, we made the decision when it came to our missions offering that we were going to do a yard sale and a golf tournament or a golf scramble. And through the yard sale and the golf scramble, we were able to raise $12,000. That's pretty good. Let's give God a hand clap for that. So that $12,000 went to supporting our missionaries that we support as a church. So we're going to be doing that again next year, so get ready for that. So we're in the book of James, Faith Works. Now, James, when we talk about this guy, James, who wrote, obviously, the book of James, Pastor Richard, when we talk about this guy, James would have been a great Clarksvillian. We would have loved James, because James was a down-to-earth kind of guy. James was a leader of leaders. He was a man that was compassionate. He was a man of conviction. And as you look at his life, he actually was a pastor. He pastored the church in Jerusalem. He really spent his entire ministerial career in Jerusalem pastoring one church. And James, like any good pastor, is very practical. James, he knew a guy named Paul. Paul, if you did not know, this guy named Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament. But he knew Paul, and so he knew that Paul was really probably, as you look at it, Paul was a highly educated man. He was probably more educated than James. And so as you read the book of James, and as we walk through it, one of the things you're going to see is that James never talks about the cross of Christ or the crucifixion of Jesus. Because obviously he was in relationship with Paul, and he knew that Paul in his books already covered those things. See, Paul talked about how salvation is received. He talked about what it is and how you and I receive it. But James, and his focus is on how salvation is verified, how it practically is walked out in our life. And so you're going to see this throughout the book of James. And James, if you like practicality, you like to be practical, like things, man, this will help me, this won't help me, you're going to love the book of James. James really is focusing on the character of living faith. If you've ever wondered to yourself, man, do I really have a growing relationship with Jesus? Or is my faith stagnant? This book is going to help us today. And so what we're going to really see is James, he's going to talk a lot about testing. Because it really is in the test that prove what you really got. See, anything, friend, of intrinsic value has to face a test. Because the test always determines what something is worth. Gold, the gold that we wear, it has to go through a test to be what it is. Diamonds, ladies, we know y'all love diamonds in this room. Diamonds, they're created by what? Pressure. They're created by a test. So anything of value has to go through a test to find out what it's really worth. One of the things that you and I should value the most, it really is one of the things that we should value the most is simply this, our salvation. And if our salvation is something that we value, it's obvious that it has to go through a test. We oftentimes view test as a negative thing. But today, through James, James is going to change the way you and I view test, view trials, view temptations. Because if we value it, it has to be tested. And so at the very beginning, James immediately, as he starts out in verse 2, he says this, count it all joy. See, James is writing to, again, he's not writing to non-Christians. He's writing to you and I. He's writing to those who are supposed to be following Jesus. And he tells us immediately, right off the top, as we walk through trials, as we walk through tests, that we should count it all joy. Now, that's easy to say, but hard to live. I mean, who wants to count at joy that you're going through a test today? You're going through a trial. You're going through struggle. That there's pain and suffering that you're facing in your life. None of us would say, oh, thank you, God, I count it all joy today. But see, James wants to change the way we're viewing the test. Friends, tests are productive. What we're going to see throughout this first little section here from verses 1 all the way through verse 18, is that tests that you can actually begin to treasure every test, every trial, and every temptation. Because every test is a treasure. Now, it doesn't seem like that at the first, but we're going to see that test produces something in our life. But the first thing we have to do to make sure we have the right attitude and the right mindset is we have to do what? Count it all joy. See, joy. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is an emotion. Happiness is based on my circumstance. I'm happy because I'm doing this. I'm happy because this is happening in my life. But joy is never based on your circumstance. Joy really is in spite of your circumstance. Man, I'm just joyful because I realize that I am born again, I am saved, and God is producing something in me. Thank God for this test, this trial, because God, I know it's doing something in me for the good, for your plan to be accomplished in my life. So he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. For you know, now if you didn't know, you're going to know today. For you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness or perseverance or diligence. See, one of the questions we need to ask ourselves today is my faith producing something? Authentic faith is supposed to produce something. Now, the thing about a test, I like to refer it or associate it with this. A test, when it comes to your walk with God, things that happen in your life, to me, it's like a CrossFit workout. Now, what you have to understand about your pastor up here is that I don't do CrossFit workouts. They're too hard. And number one, I know if I show up, everybody in the room is going to beat me with their time. And so I don't do things that I'm going to lose at, ever. If I'm only going to put myself in an environment and situations where I know I'm going to win. And I'm not to allow male and female alike to beat me in a CrossFit workout. So I don't show up. I don't do it. I have my own little workout that I do by myself. Because why? I'm going to beat myself every time. I'm going to beat my own time. And I'm going to win. So our test, what he's trying to get us to see here, again, it's producing or it's like you're working out spiritually. Every test, every trial is like going through a spiritual CrossFit workout. It produces steadfastness. What that producing is your muscles are beginning to grow, your spiritual muscles. Now, I was walking down the grocery aisle this week, and I saw two magazines that I had to show you. I didn't know they existed. I mean, look at this. Who knew that Pastor Richard looked like that under his suit that he's wearing today? Dang, champ. You did not look like that this summer when we swam together, man. You've been working out, brother. I am proud of you. But all of us, we'd love to look like Pastor Richard. Every one of us. We love to have the muscles, the abs that he probably has under that shirt. I mean, it's just bling, bling, all in there. But oftentimes, we want this, but we don't want the hard work, the discipline, eating all that gross food. We don't want that. But we want to look a certain way, but we don't want to do what? The discipline to get that way. Do you know it's the same in our walk with Jesus? If I were to ask, how many of you guys want to grow in your relationship with God? How many want to reach your destiny? How many want to see the will of the Lord performed? Oh, man, you'd all be, yeah. And I'd ask another question. Well, how many want to go through a test? Oh, no. See, those are actually the same question. If we're going to grow, then we've got to go through some stuff. I don't know why God did it like this, but he did. Every test, every trial, every temptation can be a treasure because why? It produces something in me. Now, he goes on. He knows that we're going to need some things as we're going through the test. So he tells us. He says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, man, that's me, let him ask God. And I love this. We can ask God because why? He gives generously to all. That means any one of us without reproach, meaning he's not going to chase you and say, hey, man, no, you did this yesterday. You don't get wisdom. No, he gives it to all of us. And it will be given to him. But there's a certain one we have to ask. We have to ask in faith with no doubting. He goes on to say, for he who doubts is like what? He's like a wind, a person or a wave of the sea being tossed to and fro, back and forth. He goes on to talk about how if you have doubt, then don't ever think that you will receive anything from the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but those three words, with no doubting, stuck out to me. Because let's be honest, when we go through a test, a trial, a temptation, don't you have a little bit of doubt that creeps in up here? God, oh, I'm trusting you, but that word, I mean, you don't even want to say it. But there is an ounce of doubt in every walk of faith. It really is. So is James, is he telling us here that if there's any ounce of doubt that we're in unbelief? He's not saying that. And the reason why I know, because if you skip on down to the end, like around verse 17, 18, he begins to talk about how sin is not really sin until it is conceived in the heart. Once it's conceived in the heart, then it gives birth to sin. It's like this. As a man, I have to constantly be on guard with my eyes against lustful images. Now, for me as a man, if I'm noticing that someone is pretty, is that sin? That's not sin. But what sin is when I sit there and stare at it, that's when it, I know it kind of looked weird. That's when it's conceived in my heart and it gets birth to sin. And so what he's saying is here, do you have a doubting heart? Has doubt been conceived in your heart? Let a man or woman who has doubt like that not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. But God gives us wisdom. It's interesting, he doesn't say pray for knowledge or ask for knowledge. Because oftentimes it's not knowledge that I need. There's knowledge. We can get knowledge all over the place. It's wisdom, because wisdom is the ability to apply that knowledge in the test, in the trial. Then he goes on, and as he goes on, he begins to talk about, it's kind of odd, he starts talking about rich people and poor people. And what he's trying to tell us here is that the temptation when facing a trial or test is this, that we always try to ease the pain or ease the comfort by turning to some material possession. And what he's encouraging us here to do is actually turn to the true treasure. And the true treasure in the trial, in the test, and this is what you'll find, is actually the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus himself. See, most of us would say, in fact, a lady came up to me after second service and told me, she said, Pastor Lance, I can't tell you. I'm going through a test right now. I'm facing a type of cancer in my body right now. And I want you to know that I have realized it has pushed me to Jesus like never before. See, that person is facing the test. She's counting it all joy because she's seeing the true treasure. It has transformed my faith. It has changed the way I believe. I'm trusting in God like never before. That would have never happened, friend. More than likely without what? The test. But in the test, we got to embrace the true treasure. We can't lean on other things in the test to begin to ease our comfort and pain, because oftentimes it doesn't. It just makes us broke. Oftentimes it causes us to feel guilty and condemned. He's saying, no, embrace me. And he goes on. He begins to say, he says, and he goes on. But he goes back to hold this whole steadfast. He says, blessed is the man or woman, ladies, you're not exempt, who remains steadfast under trial. I love this. For when he has stood the test, he or she will receive the crown of life. I love this. James understands that this life is tough. And the thing about tests, and the reason why this is easy to preach and hard to live, is when I say test or trial, see, I'm talking about more than just, oops, a mistake was made. I'm talking about divorce. That's tough. I'm talking about, and James is talking about, losing a loved one. Your spouse passing away. Losing a child. You know, that's tough. That's a tough test. That's a tough trial. Just like this lady came up at me after second service, sickness. I'm also talking about that. But James reminds us that this life, this what we see with our natural eyes, this is not what we're living for. Listen to me, as a believer, you don't live for today. You don't live for tomorrow. You don't even live for the next day or the future. You're living for eternity. We sang it today, that death is a lie. You and I, as a believer, we have to carry an eternal mindset. And an eternal mindset really changes the way we live. It changes the way we handle money, handle relationships. It changes the way we believe. And if you've lost someone today, let me just say this to you. That because of Jesus, you'll get to see him or her again. You'll get to see that little child again. Because him, her, that little baby, they're in heaven. I'm just telling you right now. And the hope that we have is one day I'm going to embrace that little one. One day I'm going to see him. I'm going to see her again. This is the hope. This is the crown of life. The crown of life is not anything on this earth. The crown of life is what is to come. That you and I get by living like this and trusting God through the trial. Trusting God through the test. Man, what a great testimony. You talk about a testimony. Me standing up here talking about it, it's all good. But when you start talking about your trial, your test, and people are listening, oh my gosh. People, how are you joyful? This is going on in your life. How are you not giving up? Man, it's because Jesus is the Lord of my life. You're talking about bringing glory to God. But that's why he encourages, remain steadfast. Because you'll receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And then he begins to talk about how through the test, the temptation is to begin to think that God's mad at you. God is not mad if you're going through a test or a trial today. It's not because he's upset at you, he's trying to get back at you. That's not the way our Father who is in heaven operates. I would not operate like that, therefore God would never operate like that as our daddy. God cannot be tempted, and he will not be tempted. Jesus, he allowed himself. See, Jesus gave temptation a chance to come at him for you and I. He allowed himself to be tempted. And then the very end, he closes a little section. He says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Verse 16, 17, but every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. What's he talking about here? Because this can be kind of confusing. What he's simply saying is we go through the test. Don't begin to compare yourself to other people and how they're responding to the test. See, oftentimes we fall into the comparison trap. Things happen in our life. We go through struggles. We go through temptations and trials. And we begin to look at other people's lives and say, hey, man, why am I not like them? I'm sick. They're sick. They're acting like this. I'm acting like this. Why is it not happening for me? Listen, friend, every person is gifted differently. Every person has a different personality. God is working his plan out in your life. You just simply need to trust in him and trust the process in what he's doing. Because every test, again, is productive in our life. It can be a treasure with the right heart, the right mindset, and the right attitude. Amen? Now, I love what James does. And this really just hit me, Pastor Richard, as I was standing up here in third service. It's interesting that he goes from talking all about this test to immediately talking about now being a hearer and a doer of the word. Because what he's going to begin to talk about is really our faith in action. Is that we can't be just hearers of the word, but we also are doers of the word. But in the same context, you remember, he's talking to people that are going through a test. So what this means, friend, is your test, your trial, your temptation, get this, does not exempt you from still being used by God. That was so deep, it went right over your head. Did you hear me? Your test, because a lot of times we go through the test, we think, oh, God cannot use me. Look what's happened. Look what I'm going through. Friend, it's the exact opposite. In the same context of talking about a test, talking about going through trials, he now begins to talk about be doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Because God wants to use you in your mess, in your sickness, in your pain, and in your suffering. Praise God, because I got a lot in my life. Thank you, Lord, that you don't give up on me. You actually use me in a greater way through the struggle that I'm in. Come on. But he tells us, I love what he starts out, though. He says, know this, verse 19, my beloved brethren or sisterin. Is that even a word? No, I'm messing around. I made it up. He's talking to both of us, girls and guys alike. He begins to pick up on everything Paul has written about. Again, Paul wrote about who our salvation is in. Paul wrote about our identity. Here James is picking up on that, and he reminds us that we're beloved. Because here's the thing that James doesn't want to happen. He doesn't want us to forget who we are in Christ. Because he knows from our identity flows our activity. From our identity flows our activity. When I'm right with Jesus, there's certain things I do and don't do because Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. It's not necessarily because I don't want to do it. Man, I'd love to do it. But yet, because he is Lord and because I represent him everywhere that I go, there's certain things I do and don't do. Amen? Amen. Come on. And here he goes. He's going to talk about it here. He says, let every person, be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Yes. For the anger of man, ladies, you're not exempt, sorry. For the anger of women does not produce, the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, he's talking to us. Therefore what? Remember who you are. Your identity is in Christ. Your activity flows from that. Therefore, put away. Here we go. See, guys, there's some things. Listen, you've got to allow. You've got to say, Holy Spirit, examine my heart. Is there things in me that are not of you? Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Well, my friend doesn't think that's filthy. My mom doesn't think that's filthy. I don't care. Jesus does. And if it's filthy to him, it's filthy to me also as a follower of Christ. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive. Here we go. Here's the things we need to get. With meekness. Pastor, why are you always talking to me about reading my Bible? The implanted word. This is why. Because it's able to save your soul. See, as we receive the word of God does a work on us as we're walking through the test, as we're going through the trial. It's conforming us, it's molding us, it's taking things out of us. It's a hard process. God's ripping things, he's cutting things. It's not always the nicest thing. It feels hard, it's tough sometimes. You feel it on the inside. But it's God conforming you. Being conformed is painful. Remember Pastor Richard's picture? Muscle man? That takes pain. It's also true in our spiritual walk with God. Then he goes into talking about how you and I are on the spiritual bike. And he begins to talk about how, just like a bike has two pedals, you got to pedal this bike. You got to hit one pedal, hit the next. Now, actually, pedaling that bike moves you forward. It's the same in our walk with God. We're on the spiritual bike. And on this spiritual bike, one pedal is being a hearer of the word, and the other pedal is being a doer of the word. We're hearers and we're doers. We're hearers and we're doers. But be doers of the word, verse 22, and not hearers only. Because when we are hearers only, friend, what happens? Help us. What happens is we don't even need the devil. He says we deceive ourselves. Yes. It's not the devil deceiving you. You're actually deceiving yourself when you just hear. This is the danger of coming to church and never doing anything, never getting involved, never taking a step into a starting point, a community group, is you become a hearer and never a doer. See, when you take a step, then it's our job, because we're not going to force you to do anything. Now, when you take the step and drink the Kool-Aid, it's good Kool-Aid, don't worry about it. When you take a step and begin to get involved now, you have given us an opportunity to begin to do what? To push you, to challenge you, to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. See, you might be again thinking, my relationship with God, do I have a true, authentic relationship with Jesus? Or, and you'll see this down in the last of the verses, down in verse 26 through 27, begins to talk about this false religion or false relationship with God. And we know, it's found all through these scriptures, 22 all the way down to 27, the way you identify a false relationship with God is that you're self-deceived, that you're forgetful, and also your tongue, you communicate in a way that clearly says there's something wrong because your mouth reveals your heart. See, we deceive ourselves by only being hearers and never doers. We also deceive ourselves, and I love this. He starts talking about how the Word of God is a mirror. And what we oftentimes do, we do it naturally, we go to the mirror, we look at ourselves, and he says, we go away and we forget what we have seen. That's what this Word is like, a mirror to you and I. This Word clearly communicates to me who I am and who I'm not. It tells me when I'm outside of Christ, man, that I desperately need Jesus in my life. It's so clear. Yes. Yes. And this is how I know, because the Word is so clear, this is how I know that this Bible, see, oftentimes people say, well, Pastor Lance, how do you know that this book, this Bible was written by God and not a book that man wrote about God, but really a book that God wrote about man? And I say, you know what, friend, it's simple as this to me. If this was a book that I, man, wrote about God, I would have made myself look a lot better than how I look in this mirror that I look at on a consistent basis. See, we're prideful. We would have made ourselves look a lot better than what this book says. This book calls us sinners. This book says that we need, that somebody had to come and die on a cross and be brutally beaten, marred more than any man, so much that he was unrecognizable, for me to be saved. That means me, I was pretty wicked for that to happen to Jesus Christ. But the great thing also about this book is that even though it shows me what's wrong with myself, it gives me the other side of the coin, is it tells me all the answers to see life come to me. See, this is a mirror. You know what else is a mirror that God has given you and I? Yes, the Word, but he's also given us community. Yes. Spiritual family. Church family is a mirror. Yes. Pastor Richard, Pastor Ron, the other men in my life, they're mirrors in my life. Because I deceive myself. Man, I get an A+ in self-deception. I deceive myself all the time. And I have men that can come into my life and say, Champ, you're not seeing this in your life. You're not seeing this when it comes to your marriage, when it comes to the way you're treating your children. So I want to help you see it. Every one of us needs these mirrors in our life. The Word, and we need others in our life. Amen? Amen. For he who looks, 24, last verse, then we'll close. For he or she, ladies, who looks at himself or herself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But, verse 25, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres. There's our word, steadfast, persevere, diligent. There it is again. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. You know, today, let's begin to view our trials and our tests. Let's view them differently today. Let's begin to view them as something that is productive, because anything that has value has to go through a test. Let's begin to view it. Let's begin to value it in a way that where we can count it all joy. Because we know there's just certain things in us that are not going to happen unless we go through whatever it is. And God is sovereign. He knows what those things are. And those things will be different for me than they are for you. But as we walk through them, let's not forget that God still has mission and plans for us. He wants us to just not to be a hearer. He wants us to be a doer. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we stand to our feet? Pastor Richard, you come up. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you. Now, before we leave, I just want to take this moment here, and I want us, because so many times we can hear something, we go home, we eat, we turn on television, watch football, and we kind of forget what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So what I want to do, I just want us to bow our heads, and I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us when it comes to this. Because again, testing, trials, they're tough. They bring pain. But to help us. To help us, God. Lord, help us to view it as productive. That whatever we go through, sir, today I'm asking you, Father, help us, God, as a church, as individual followers of you, but to have the right mindset that what we can count it all joy. Because, Lord, as we walk through it, you're producing something in us. Steadfastness, perseverance, endurance. Well, it won't come any other way unless we walk through this test. So today, God, I'm asking you for strength for my friends and whatever they're going through. Give them the strength to walk through that test with all joy. But we count it all joy when we fall through various trials. And God, as we walk, I pray that we would also walk and be doers of this word. God, we want not to be hearers, but to be doers. So Holy Spirit, examine us today. If there's anything in us that is not of you, remove it, sir, that we can better be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand for the word of God. Thank you guys so much for being here. I would love for our prayer team to come forward. Maybe you're going through a test right now. Maybe you're going through a trial. You know, Pastor Lance said something that's really wise. You know, when we're going through that, we need mirror of community. You can actually utilize the gift of the local church that God has given you by simply getting prayer. Also, we're starting Starting Point today at 2 p.m. We would love to have you. In addition to that, don't forget to sign up for Victory Weekend after we leave today. And a new thing that we had started this week at Bethel we want to invite you guys to is on our Facebook page. Hopefully you guys are all become a friend of ours on Facebook. We've started something called the 10 After. Every Tuesday at noon online, Pastor Lance and myself or one of us are going live on Facebook to really recap what we talked about on Sunday and to go a little bit deeper, but also to talk about what's going on in an interactive way on Facebook for 10 minutes. So many of you guys are on your lunch break or you're driving around, put it on Bluetooth on your phone or at your desk or at home, and be a part of the 10 After with us. You can do that every Tuesday at 12 noon. I just want to pray for you as we leave. Father, thank you so much for the gift of the local church, and thank you for the gift of your word. It changes us, it redirects us, and it gives us the peace that we need when we go through the trials, when we go through the hard times, and even in the good times, God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you for every single person and family represented here. Pray your blessings would be over them in a mighty way this week. In Jesus' name.